Welcome to the NLX Dynasty podcast. This is a snap reactions. Doing a little bit different this week. Again, I'm trying to move around some themes and stuff. So I'm going to do that this week. This week I'm going to look at, I wanted to go back and look at the quarterback tiers from the offseason. Going to do that with them. And I'm going to change the way I do running backs as well. Instead of doing a running back snap reaction or a human hand grenade, I'm just going to do one. I kept citing back to the other one. It just seemed, redundant. So instead of keep saying the same thing over and over, you know, reciting myself, I'm just going to do one. So that's what I'm going to do this week. But and I'm going to do a special Kansas City-centric podcast. So I have some thoughts on what I think is wrong with the Kansas City offense. So I'm going to do that as well. So this one will be primarily the veterans, and then I'm going to do a young quarterbacks next week. So we're going to do the vets, sort of some of the movement amongst them, where we sort of feel, and then I want to check back in with some of the younger quarterbacks, so first and second year guys next week is what I'll do. So, all right, here we go. So 5-year level of comfort. I still have 4 guys with the caveat of this. This number I expect to move up. I haven't done it yet. You could take Watson out of it and put him in his whole other category, and I'll get there in a second. This number will be bigger in January or maybe May. Right? In the off season, this number will be bigger or training camp. Sometime at some point in the future offing, it will grow. The reason it does not quite grow yet is because I'm not fully there on a couple of things, and I'll get to those in a second. But right now, the group is 4, and I think the group gets bigger. And this isn't, again, these, remember, if you're newer to AOD or if you're, haven't looked at these in a while, they're not necessarily ordered exactly the way that I would take them. But I think this is a different way to look at how we would think about them in terms of arbitraging profiles, in terms of looking at, you know, levels of comfort, especially at running back. This has been really useful at running back. And, you know, thinking about security at quarterback as well. So especially when you go from, you know, 0 hits to 1 hit and those sorts of things, like that's a big, those things are a really big deal. And so that's kind of where we're at on this, right? That's the purpose for these. So it's a little bit different of a practice, and we'll update it and stuff in the off season and that stuff. But I got 4 guys I feel comfortable with in a 5-year window. It's Mahomes, it's Prescott, Wilson, Watson. Let's start backwards. Watson, here if he plays in 2022, right? Obviously we have the concern of if/when/where/with who he plays in 2022. If he plays, if he's going to be even a half a season starter, I feel good in a 5-year window. I think he's a really, really good quarterback. He just needs to keep his, you know, like we teach our kids, keep your hands to yourself and he'll be a really good quarterback. So I think that's kind of where I'm at on him. And it's really good. Like, it is very, very good in terms of where he's at. Now, mind you, remember coming into the season, the leader in terms of active quarterbacks in yards per attempt was Patrick Mahomes. It is now Deshaun Watson. Okay, Deshaun Watson, there's only 2 players in the history of the NFL who qualify and have thrown for more yards per attempt than he has. Otto Graham, 9 yards per attempt. Sid Luckman, 8.4. Deshaun Watson, 8.3. Norm Van Brocklin, 8.2, and these guys are all this is the pre-Kennedy administration, right? This is how far back we're going, right? This is, my dad's turning 60 today as I'm recording this, and all of these players besides Watson and Mahomes played before my dad was alive. So just to frame that in context for a second. So Norm Van Brocklin, 8.2 yards per attempt, and then Mahomes is at 8.1. Steve Young is the next, I guess, relative contemporary at 8. Kurt Warner, 7.9. Romo 7.9, Russ 7.9, and then you sort of go from down from there. Rodgers, by way of reference, is 7.8, Prescott 7.7. So we could keep going on and on. But suffice it to say that Watson is an excellent quarterback, but for his problems that he's dealing with right now, that is frankly unacceptable. But this is to say that if he's back and healthy and ready to go and, you know, non-incarcerated, he's a really good quarterback. So that's my position on why I have him that high. I think the payoff's really high, and you know, I still think now is a good time to do it, especially if you have, you know, pieces for a contender and the contender has Watson. This is a time to potentially push in on that front. So he is in the five-year window of comfort when he is back. All right, Russell Wilson, he's a Hall of Fame track guy. It's been a turbulent last 12 months, which may create a buying opportunity, honestly. Plus, you also have the potential that he is going to be heading elsewhere in the offseason, which, you know, so there is some uncertainty there. I think he's in an elite tier. Thus the reason that I have him here. But I do think there is some difference in the market. I will concede that I am high on him. And the reason for that is security, stability, you know, long-term. I think he's a really, really, really high floor bet. So Prescott as well as Mahomes finish out this tier. I mean, I'm going to talk about Mahomes in detail in the second, you know, in the Kansas City Reactions pod here. But Dak Prescott, I mean, this is something I've talked about. He's like 98% of his scoring is coming from passing. And that's really good. And that's, you know, he's still high up in the position. And one of the things that I think with that is you hope the running comes back, but if it doesn't, he's at a really high floor. And I think that's something ultimately that is really interesting and compelling and safe. And so those are really the reasons I'm pretty optimistic on him. Contract also is important to talk about in this context because Mahomes locked in, Prescott locked in. You know, Wilson maybe not. Watson is if he's back. You know, the next tier down, there's a variety of concerns that I have. So with Josh Allen, so again, it's Josh Allen, Kyler Murray, Lamar, Herbert, Burrow, Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford, Tannehill, Matt Ryan, and Kirk Cousins. So with these guys, there's a variety of things that are going on. And, you know, with Allen, he's regressed to basically being somewhere between 2020 Josh Allen and 2019 Josh Allen. And that's still a very good quarterback. It just gives me, and this is, again, I'm doing this exercise fresh off of a disaster show in Jacksonville. So that's some of the context of which I'm dealing with this. So for what that's worth. The other thing I'd say too is, there's just a different level of comfort here, right? I mean, if I turn on Dak Prescott, I kind of know what I'm going to get. If I turn on Josh Allen, and this admittedly could be a homerism problem, or it could be, you know, valid skepticism. I think that it's warranted, and I think the data would back that up. And I think most observers would back this up, is that when you watch Dak Prescott, when you watch Russell Wilson, when you watch Patrick Mahomes, there's a certain level of security and stability, and you know what you're going to get, that's higher than when you watch Josh Allen. So that's why it's a difference. And I feel that way. Again, I don't think it's necessarily entirely, you know, I do think there's probably something to the fact that I've watched a lot of him and it's been roller coaster, and I still have that prior of him not being very good. So there's some of that, but that's the reason that I have him in the second tier. Kyler Murray, I still have him in the second tier as well. He's taken a step forward. I think the offensive system is likely locked in. They've played well enough that Cliff Kingsbury is going to keep his job for better or for worse. He's second in terms of CPOE at plus 6.9% over expectation. That's excellent. He's second in terms of PFF grade. That's excellent. Here's my concern. 12th in terms of expected points, 7th in terms of actual points, so he's overperforming expectation. One of the key areas that I have a little bit of pause with, 9.4 yards per attempt under pressure. So when you look at that, that's number one in the league. And one of the problems that I have with that, we saw with Herbert, like that stuff regresses. And so that's really the concern that I would have with Herbert, or with, excuse me, with Murray, is he's really performing, I think, at the higher end of his expectation. And I think some of that is, there is regression baked into that. So is he one that you could potentially pivot? You know, is he a pivot to Prescott? Is he a pivot up towards Mahomes? Like, that might actually be interesting right now. I have a couple spots where I have Murray. I might look to pivot up, and just because there's still another level of security above him that I would have. And I think that maybe the market you could get, and maybe this isn't the week with him out, but I think the market you could get potentially Dak plus if you sort of do it right. Maybe it's not necessarily you trade Kyler Murray for Dak in a second, but it's Kyler Murray and another player for Dak and a player that you like better. You can maybe bury some value in there, something like that. So I'm going to look to do something like that in a couple spots that I have him. Again, I'm not bailing on him. I just think that he's due for a little bit of a comeback down to earth from where he's at. Herbert's top five at the position in terms of expected points per game. He's top eight in terms of PFF grade. Here's some of the stuff I think is really interesting. So in the offseason, I talked a lot about this, was the some of his under pressure stuff and his production under pressure and why I thought that he was maybe due for some regression. When you look at where his stats is, just from a surface level, it doesn't look like he's really grown that much. 7.4 yards per attempt. This year, 7.3. Last year, she's like, all right, Jordan, has he really taken that big of a jump? The answer to the question is yes. From a clean pocket, this year, let's go back a second. In 2022, 63.4% of his attempts came from a clean pocket, and he was 7.1 yards per attempt on those throws. He was 30th in amongst qualifiers, and that there's about 40 qualifiers. So bottom quarter of the position in terms of clean pocket throws. Under pressure last year was 36.6% of his throws. He was 7.6 yards per attempt. That was actually third amongst players. So he's really good under pressure. That's a stat that tends to regress. And the clean pocket tends to be a little bit more sticky. Well, if you look at the PFF grades, 75.9 in terms of a PFF grade from a clean pocket last year, 75.4 from a pressured pocket. So that kind of gives you an idea where he was at. So we fast forward, and again, more than a third of his throws were under pressure last year. So just start with that. There's a couple of things that have happened this year that have really, I think, changed how I think about Herbert. So he has thrown under pressure a significantly less amount of the time. So from a clean pocket this year, 73.1%. That is up from 63.4%. So again, that's basically 10% more of his throws are coming from a clean pocket than last year. The reduction with the pressure, you know, it's basically you're cutting essentially the amount of throws that were under pressure. You're basically cutting out a quarter of them. So that's a good chunk of reduction there. He has dropped in terms of PFF grade. Again, remember, that's very fluky. So he dropped from 75.4 to 61.6. There's a lot of variance in those numbers. And he's basically dropped to 5 yards per attempt under pressure. So he's really dropped in terms of his under pressure performance this year, which again is something that we expected. That's a variable stat year over year. He's 29th in terms of qualifiers. Like, that's about the bottom quarter of the position. Here's where the big jump took place. So he gets a lot, he's throwing from a clean pocket a lot more. His PFF grade explodes. 75.9 last year, 90.2 this year. Yards per attempt, 7.1 last year, 8.1 this year. He jumps from 30th in the position to 15th so far from a clean pocket. That's a big jump. Again, not fully there yet. I wouldn't say he's on like the Dak Prescott Mahomes level yet, but he's definitely taken a jump in terms of elevating his game, which I think is really interesting. He's basically he's improved the skill stat. He's sort of regressed in the stat we would expect him to. But that's a pretty sizable jump. A yard per attempt's a pretty sizable jump from being from 30th to 15th. Again, I still think he has more to offer in terms of that. And it, if he sort of cut 15 in half, right, and ended up being top eight or something like that, like I could see that as a potential for his career. But positive stuff for Herbert, and a way that, frankly, I was a little concerned about. Because here's the thing that I would say, if you invested in him, and here's the reason why I wouldn't have done it. People were taking him at 106. He was basically quarterback five. You've basically now gotten to a point where, like, he's eighth in terms of points per game. He's fourth in terms of expected points, so he's underperforming that. Like, he's hasn't really jumped up in terms of, like, what you would look at in terms of just on paper stats. I think that if you polled people that took him that high, you'd probably be disappointed. You haven't had this huge successful win. I actually put it as a pretty big win because now he's going from one hit to two. Right, that's a pretty big jump for me in terms of how I view these guys. Again, I don't typically like to pay for guys before they take the second leap. I'd rather let them take the leap and then pay full price than trying to pay 90 cents on the dollar where there's like a 50% hit rate, right? So that's kind of the thing. It's probably higher than that if we're being honest with Herbert. But I still think we were overpaying for what his implied hit rate was. So this is all good signs for him. So I'm pretty optimistic about him. He is one of those ones that I'll probably put in a five-year comfort window. I feel pretty close to doing it because he's basically confirmed what we have in terms of the stats. And, he's doing it really early. And plus, now he still has 3 years on his contract. He's going to get signed long-term. Like, I don't have a lot of those longer-term concerns with him just because he's done it so early and touched such a high level. Basically twice, 2 years into his career, that's a pretty big and sizable jump. So it'll be interesting there how we ultimately handle him, but I think he's putting himself in a rarefied air. Okay, next one up is actually Joe Burrow. And Joe Burrow I actually have some concerns about because, again, he was at – listen, this is part of the question, right? He's at 111. He was quarterback 8 in terms of RDP last year. He's 24th in terms of expected points per game. I checked this morning. It might have been updated. So, but, again, right around the quarterback 2-3 line. He's expected for 14.6 touchdowns. It's at 20. Again, it might have been before it was updated for this game. But you get the idea. Pretty big in terms of over expectation, 30-plus – percent over expectation. He's 8th in terms of PFF grade, quarterback 13 in terms of points per game. Is that a success for someone that you drafted between 108 and 204, somewhere in that range? Especially when you look at some of the potential regression stuff, he's performing over expectation in terms of touchdowns. I mean, this seems like a classic sell high, bridge the gap, jump up to a Dak, jump up to a Mahomes, that type of level. Give a pick to do it. I would do all of those things just because I think this is the thing that comes down ultimately. We've talked plenty about like Jamar Chase as well. I just have some concerns about their regression profiles. One other thing that I think is unfair to his teammates. So his pressure rate is actually down this year. I heard some people talking like, oh, he gets hit more. He's taking more sacks, yada, yada. That's a Joe Burrow problem and not an offensive line. So he's been pressured on 30.1% of his dropbacks this year. That's down from 32.2%. The pressure to sack rate, which is his control, right? It's how many times that he's pressured actually turns into sacks. Last year, 21.9%. This year, up to 26%. So he is giving up more of the pressures that are on him. He is turning more of those into sacks than he did last year. So just contributing to why some of his sack rate numbers might look higher. That's ultimately a stat that belongs to the quarterback and not the offensive line. So he's got to get rid of the ball quicker. Right, so this whole like, oh, could they go back and take Penei Sewell, yada yada. Get rid of the ball quicker. That's an on Joe Burrow type of problem. So for what that's worth, just touch base on that. Aaron Rodgers, 7th in terms of CPOE, 2.8 above expectation, so that's pretty good. 14th in terms of PFF grade, and I'll say this: he looks a lot like pre Matt LaFleur Aaron Rodgers. So 7.3 yards per attempt, and he has a 5.5 big time throw rate. When you look at that's this year. When you look going back 2018, 2016. So in 2018, he had 7.4 yards per attempt. 2017, he's 7.0. 2016, 7.4. And his big time throw rates in that time, 5.5, 4.2, 5.6. So again, very similar to what he's doing this year in terms of 7.3 this year in terms of yards per attempt, 5.5% in terms of big time throws. Past 2 years, big time throw rate up, 7.6 last year, 6.0 the year before. Yards per attempt also up, 8.1, 7.2. I found a fascinating stat. From a clean pocket, he is the second quickest time to throw at 2.12 seconds. Ben Roethlisberger, the only person quicker at 2.09. Ben Roethlisberger doing it on a much shorter A dot at 6.5 compared to 7.3 for Rodgers. So he's really getting the ball out quickly. 12th in terms of expected points, 12th in terms of actual points per game. And again, this might have been before some of the games updated for this week in terms of the stats, but you sort of get the idea and the range on where those are from. I have maybe ceiling concerns, and is he one that you could potentially bridge the gap to a higher value guy like that's a little bit depressed in value, like Mahomes or something like that, especially if you get into a situation where Rodgers comes back from COVID and performs well right away. Like, I think that could be a potential thing to look for and potentially pivot towards. Okay, Matthew Stafford, quarterback 2, quarterback 3 in terms of points per game, 11th in terms of PFF grade, 2nd in terms of yards per attempt, really low pressure rate in terms of, he's like the 2nd lowest at the position at 22%, 2nd best PFF grade of his career at 81.7. When you look, every other stat is basically up. 5.3% big time throw rate, his career 5.1%. So up there. Turnover worthy plays is just slashed. He is 2.0 this year, 3.2 for his career. So that's a good reduction there in terms of that stat. A dot up from 8.5 in his career to 9 this year. And pressure to sack rate, again, that's the stat we talked about with Burrow. That's the quarterback controlling how much of the pressure actually turns into them being on the ground with a sack. 18.3 in his career. It's 10.9 this year. So that's a big difference in terms of really coming down. I think all that's good stuff. When you look this year, just over 26% of his throws are on play action, 9.5 yards per attempt on those. Last year, it was 23.7 when he was in Detroit, 8.9 yards per attempt. So throwing it a little bit more on play action and throwing it a little bit more successfully as well. Compare that last year to Jared Goff. He basically almost a third of his throws were on play action, 33%. 7.9 yards per attempt. So more than a yard and a half better on play action than Goff was last year. And they don't throw it as much, which is interesting. And you wonder why exactly that is, if they don't feel they need to hide Stafford, or maybe there is even more there in terms of, you know, maybe they're leaving a little bit of meat on the bone, if you will. Okay, one of my favorite studies in this entire project today has actually been Matt Ryan. So I heard at the beginning of the season a lot of that Matt Ryan was cooked and that he's no good and all this stuff. And like, it's not an unreasonable conclusion to come to for a quarterback in his mid to late 30s that, hey, like the road comes quick and father time comes for us and all those things. But the thing that kept gnawing at me in the back of my head was, I was like, you know, it just seems like there's probably some coaching stuff there. The situation's not all that great. Like, you know, that you have a change in coaching staff. We're really assuming that he's just instantaneously gonna turn, you know, this new system and not struggle at all. Like, that's what we're doing. Well, that skepticism has been borne out pretty nice in terms of some of the stuff we're looking for here. Weeks 1 through 3, it was 27th in terms of PFF grade at 59.3. He was 29 out of 35 in terms of yards per attempt at 6.0. You look at the weeks 4 through 9, first in terms of PFF grade by a pretty substantial margin at 91.7. He's quarterback 10 in terms of total points, 9th in terms of yards per attempt. He's outscored Kyler Murray in the past since week 4. He's 3rd in terms of big time throw rate, north of 7%. Season long 15th in points. He's quarterback 17 in 8 games, despite multiple people right around him playing an additional game. So he's right in that quarterback 1, quarterback 2 fringe area. And when you look at that, I mean, it's pretty wild. One other thing I'll say, too, is when you look at – I was breaking down some of the – for this project I'm working on with Kansas City, I was breaking down some of the quarterback stuff in terms of stats and all that stuff. When you look at quarterback qualifiers in terms of guys who actually are up there, you know, at the position in terms of deep passer rate. So the Matt Ryan ranks 5th in terms of PFF grade on deep passes at 95.5, 17.3 yards per attempt. Which is actually 4th behind Stafford, Wilson, and Kyler Murray. Big time throw rate, he is at 35.7%. That is 7th on the season at the position amongst qualifiers. When you actually even go down, you know, you take those first 3 weeks out, which I do show a significant difference in terms of his profile. It is a, I think, an interesting look-see. So basically from small sample size caveats apply here. But from week 4 to now, the top-rated PFF deep ball passer, Matt Ryan, 99 PFF grade. Big-time throw rate in terms of deep passes, again, this is 20 yards or more down the line of scrimmage, 41.7%, that is 3rd. So there is a lot of there was a lot of questions and concerns with him coming in after the first couple weeks. I'm firmly on this of the stance that he is still a difference maker at the quarterback position. Maybe it's not necessarily top 5 quarterback outcomes, but absolutely quarterback 1-2. You think of him like a Kirk Cousins, right? That's basically where they are in terms of similar positionally at this point. I did look at a couple of Cousins stats. He is the only quarterback to not throw an interception on non-play action. He's really good. So I've kicked some stats along to him in the GroupMe chat. He's been very good and isn't necessarily scheme dependent. So I know that there's some concerns about him ultimately in terms of what he can offer. But from a fantasy and stats perspective, he's been very good in terms of quarterback 1-2 type range in that tier. Just very, very helpful in terms of super flex scoring. Okay, Jared Goff here, worst PFF grade since 2016. He's down in terms of yards per attempt, big time throw rates down. ADA is down to basically the lowest since then as well. Turnover-worthy plays for the second consecutive year are higher than big-time throws. It's really, really trending in a bad direction. So I viewed him in a couple-year window. I will say this. I don't think it's necessarily unreasonable to think that Tim Boyle, who's coming back from IR after a preseason injury, could potentially push him in terms of starting this year. That was something that was discussed in the offseason. I didn't put a ton of thought into it, but it was enough that it got kicked around like enough to just be sort of there and prevalent in terms of the preseason media when I was covering them for Football Guys. And then I said, okay, you know, like that's fine. And then Goff did enough to sort of put it to bed. Boyle got hurt. Haven't really thought much of it. Now Boyle's coming back. Goff hasn't been very good. And all of a sudden, like, I think we could potentially hear that discussion again. Again, I don't think Boyle's a long-term starter, but they might not think that Goff is either. So that's sort of the concern and questions that I have with him. Again, maybe Boyle is worth – the problem is it's not a great system, but maybe Boyle himself is actually worth a deeper add if you're in 2 quarterbacks, something like that. All right. Jalen Hurts, PFF grade, 15 yards per attempt, 17th. Big time throw rate, 7th. Turnover-worthy plays, 23rd. So basically right in the middle position. He's quarterback 6 in terms of – your fantasy scoring. Here's the question that I have about Jalen Hurts, and this is the thing that gives me a ton of pause. Is he the guy? And I have paused enough in answering that question to feel that if the answer is no, if the answer is I have to think about it that long, and I look at these numbers and I just say, I'm not sure, like, they can't say yes. That the answer is it's not yes. So, you know, I still have concerns about him in terms of longevity. So that's really where I'm at in terms of him. I know he's more of like a second-year guy we could probably talk about in more depth, but I did want to pass him along before we sort of get to that in the coming week here. Sam Darnold, since week four, has been the worst quarterback in terms of PFF grade. Shocking considering how high variance he was to start his start the season. Turnover-worthy plays, fourth most. Big-time throw rate, 3.8%. He's just not it. It's just not it. He's 28th out of 36 qualifiers in terms of PFF grade on the season. 6.5 yards per attempt, just below his career average. 4.4 big time throw rate. That's actually up from 3.7 on his career. But the 4.2 turnover worthy plays, it's the exact same number. He hasn't gotten better. He just hasn't. And the rushing touchdowns at the beginning of the year, like, that's all fine and dandy. But ultimately, this game is won from the pocket. And if you can't deliver, you're not worth anything in terms of super flex. Unless you can consistently be someone that can run around, create, and run. And he's not that. And, like, here we are, 60.3 PFF grade. Last year was 52.7, 64.3 the year before, 62.9 in 2018. I mean, sometimes you are who you are, and this is who Darnold is. And there's no more Gase problems. There's no more this and that. Like, Darnold's just not very good. And, you know, that's not an insult on him. He's just not. And we need to stop pretending that he is. Baker Mayfield, quarterback 17th in terms of PFF grade. 23rd in terms of total points, 8 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, which just doesn't really seem like enough to make a difference in fantasy. Ultimately, 8.5 yards per attempt, almost 6% big-time throw rate. That's pretty good. 2.2 turnover-worthy play percentage, which is okay, you know, middle of the position or so. But 30th in terms of expected points per game. A lot of that's just a lack of volume. And then the question becomes is, like, how do you kind of justify that long term? It's a big time question. And, you know, one, I'm pivoting up the board to get to a safer, more insulated quarterback, you know, using Baker. You know, I went Baker and Dobbins for Wilson in a spot where I had him. Like, I 100% do that again, just because now I have Wilson. Like, I can figure Wilson out. I don't need to figure out. I know who Wilson is, right? And it's just a matter of how do I want to play him more than it is anything else. So I think that's a big difference there in terms of the future outcomes there. So it was fine paying the cost of Dobbins. But Baker really in a catch, you know, in the middle type of situation there that I don't feel super good about. And that's a place where we've consistently seen danger and a place that I don't want to live at the position. So for me, I'm a firm out. And listen, if he comes around and ultimately he's like a rich man's Kirk Cousins, like, that's great. But that's kind of where I think Kirk Cousins is like a best case for him right now. And I don't feel particularly good about it. So, all right. Well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. And we will talk again very soon.